Randall.
Jasmine.
Good evening.
Good evening.
In case you didn't finish, you should finish the counting, which is essentially Hod Shebahod.
Yeah, we got cut right there.
Well, as I said, we weren't going to have a problem that we'd be able to finish in time. So it shows you how accurate my intuition is working.
Next time you use it.
So, we are moving on to our study. You'll find the link that we'll be using on the unique astrological times link. It's underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage, or on mobile devices, it's at the bottom of the page. When the unique astrological times link opens up, scroll down to the section of preparing or the study for Lag BaOmer. And the material that we're using that we will be studying is titled to find that. I already have it open.
How far down is it?
I'll let you know in a second. Okay, it's in the Lag BaOmer section, which is about 2 inches, an inch and a half to 2 inches from the bottom. And the link says study material for Lag BaOmer - Idra Rabbah. Last year we studied from this as well, and we completed section 1. So today we are starting with section 2. What opens up is a this is an online version of the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. Does anybody have any questions before we start?
Yeah, I have a question. Which one are we going to open?
Well, what are you looking at?
I see the foreword to the Idra Rabbah, number one, and the second, and these are the kings?
These are the kings is number two. That's where we're starting.
That's the one?
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing.
Jasmine, are you telling me you didn't know it was there?
No, it's just like I've been asking for this topic for a while myself, and now the answer is coming.
Bezrat Hashem. So we have two ways of teaching the Zohar. One is the deep study, where we stop after the reading of each verse and we ask for questions. And the other is our normal Zohar classes, where we go through the verses one by one till the section is over, and then we ask for questions. I'm thinking we should do the deep study, but I will tell you, I'm not on a spiritual level to really deal with the Idra Rabba. The Idra Rabba is the teachings of Rabbi Shimon with his 10 students. Everybody is alive. He's just left the cave, and he brings these students back into the cave, and they are being taught by him. I'm not on this level, so I will do my best to answer the deeper questions. But I'd like you to feel free to ask the deeper questions, because when you do so, eventually, as was just said, when you ask for it, it does come. It just you don't know when. Pasuk 10. Gale beraza ufata. We amar ketivele amlachim asher malku baretz ayadom lifne melach melech wikomer zakayin atun sadika yayo yitkale plichon raze derazin dioraita Kila it galyan, the kadisha el yonin man yashka, the high man yiske, the high dehu sahaduta, amehem nuta, the kola tulota, the rava, yehedila, yitashal. Lehovah legala'ata Umayem run avrayayo Behai kara kashyahu Behalah waleya Lemitavaki Behachazenam Kama melachim hawo Adila Yejun B'nei Yisrael V'ad La Yehi Malka Livnei Yisrael Uma Yichaze Haka Uda Ataru Harayayo El Araza Dirazim Udila Yahlin, Bene Nasha Leminda, Ulish Timoda, Ul Mirchash, Kada Atai, you, Behai. He revealed in secret and opened the discussion with the verse. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom, before there reigned any king. Blessed are you, righteous, to whom were revealed the inner secrets of the Torah, which are not revealed to the most holy beings up high, meaning the angels, who will be attentive to this, and who will deserve this. The verse, and these are the kings, that is evidence about overall faith. May the prayer be accepted that it will not be considered a sin to reveal this. What will the friend say, since this verse is difficult? since it was unnecessary to write this, because we could see how many kings Edom had before the children of Israel came along, and prior to the children of Israel having a king. What is shown to us here, it is a high secret, and men are incapable of knowing and understanding and contemplating this, since it alludes to the supernal worlds. Questions, comments, thoughts? Jasmine, I'm going to put you on the spot. You wanted to know. Only way you know is with questions.
Yeah. I think I need a little more, expand it a little bit more for me to understand more.
But remember, tonight we are connecting to this energy, so we don't need to understand it, but we can ask questions about it. Like, could we know today how many kings there were in Edom before there was a king in Israel?
I know there were eight.
There were eight, but these were before there was a universe. This was before the world was created. Our current world of Tikkun was created after these kings died. The world of Edom...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but they were seven and one didn't die.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
And don't be sorry to interrupt. Feel free. But we're not talking about this physical world. We're not talking about the land of Edom in the physical world. We are using a description language that we think we understand. The land of Edom. Where is the land of Edom? Oh, it's close to Israel, the land of Israel. But that's not what we're talking about. We're using those words as language of branches to describe what the second verse in the Torah says, Tohu Vavohu. We have the world of dots that is created first. These world of dots are the Sephirot. There are 10 dots in a line, one on top of the other, not in columns, all in one column, from Keter at the top to Malchut at the bottom. They're not offset. They're not in the three columns. They're one column of the 10 Sephirot. This is called the world of dots. The light comes in to Keter, and it fulfills Keter. And then Keter starts to share. But it doesn't ask Chachma, how much do you want? It says to itself, I'm the power station. They can handle everything I can share. So here it all is, guys. And Chachma can handle it. Barely. But Chachma says to Bina, here it is, m'lady. And Bina cannot handle it all. So she is damaged. She's not destroyed, just damaged. Bina takes what's there and gives it to Chesed. Chesed cannot handle it and cracks. And some of the light falls out, falls down to the klipot, below Malchut. And what doesn't fall below Malchut, Chesed is still trying to share in her cracked state. So she gives some light to Gevurah, but it's still too much, and Gevurah cracks. And then Tiferet cracks, but Tiferet does more than crack. Tiferet breaks up, and then it goes to Netzach, and Netzach cracks open, and it goes to Hod, and Hod can't handle it and totally lets everything go to Yesod. But it doesn't all go to Yesod, because some of it is falling into the Klipot until all of the light that's left in Yesod cracks apart, breaks up, and falls to the Klipot. This is the worlds of Tohu and a second world of Bohu. These are the world that is being referred to metaphorically as the kings of Edom. Verse 11. Tana Atika de Atikin Temira dit mirin ad la zamin tikuno biture aturin sheruta vesiuma lahawa wahawa maglif shair beya ufaris gameya had parsa uva Galif the Shear Malkin. We have learned about the most ancient of ancients, the most hidden of hidden, before he prepared his constructions and the crowns of crowns, the preparation of the vessels and readying them to receive the lights are called constructions. The lights themselves are called crowns, derived from the verse, the crown with which his mother crowned him, from Shir HaShirim. There did not yet exist a beginning nor an end, which are upper Chachmah, the beginning of revelation, and lower Chachmah, the end of revelation. He was carving and estimating the limits of it, meaning of revealing the beginning and the end. He laid out a boundary, and in it he marked and measured kings. Questions, comments, thoughts. This is a description of the world of Tohu and Bohu. The first verse is, verse 10 is a description of Tohu, the dots. Verse 11 is a description of the cracking of the vessels, the breaking of the shattering of the vessels is the way it's termed in English. The shattering of the vessels that allows the sparks of light to fall into the klipot. And what do the klipot do when there's a spark of light that comes amidst them? They try to absorb the energy. They want to eat it, but they can't. It's too strong. So they cover it. They surround it. They become a shell, like an orange peel, around the fruit of the orange. Can you eat the fruit of the orange peel itself? But most people don't. Some people will eat the inside of the peel, but they don't touch the orange peel itself, the outer edge, because it doesn't taste good. That's true in the klipot as well. Here's the light, but it's too strong for you. So they surround it like a shell, like a peel around the fruit. Verse 12. Utikuno la itke yamu ahidikti ve'ele hamlachim asher malchu ba'eret sedom livne melach melech livne Yisrael malka Kadma alivne Israel, Kadma avikulu, Biglifu bishmahan, Itkerun vela itkeyamu, Adianach, Lehu viatsona, Lehu ulbatar zinahu. Istelak behahu parsa veitekan betikuno. His constructions were not maintained. And this is what is written. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. Meaning before the first king that reigned over the first children of Israel. All that were recorded were called by their names, but did not survive. So eventually he abandoned them, and he hid them. He was elevated by that boundary and established with his own corrections, his own formations. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I have a question. I still don't have clear why did these worlds were destroyed. These kings.
To answer that question, I have to discuss the idea of the vessels in the four phases. In phase one of the four phases, the light says, knocks on the door of the vessel of Chachma. And it goes, knock, knock, and Chachma says, who's there? And the light says, the light's here. I want to come into you. And Chachma says, okay, come on in. It's not a difficult for me to let you in the door. So the light enters Chachma. And what happens is, what happens when you pour hot coffee into a ice-cold cup of empty cup?
Great.
What happens to the vessel? It breaks. Now, that's the physical explanation. Now, we're not talking about physicality. So is your question, why did God create the worlds to work that way? Because the vessel has to share with the other vessel. Chachma has to share with Bina. And if it won't share because it's selfish, it breaks. And what happens to the light? It falls to a lower level. It falls to Bina. But Bina can't catch all of it. So some of the coffee spills on the rug. Is that answering your question?
Yes.
But here we're being taught that because the vessels broke, it says he was elevated by that boundary. Who do you think he is?
Dina?
Correct. Dina was elevated. Do you remember reading about a chasm, or what's it called, an abyss between Bina and Chesed?
No.
In some of the books, it's described as an abyss. In others, it's described as dots. But essentially, there's a boundary where the upper three have to cross in order to get to the lower seven. That's what this verse is describing.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
Why isn't the ad counted as a sephirot?
Why isn't dot counted as a sephirot?
Yes.
Does the central column exist? We know there are two energies. There's sharing and there's receiving, right?
Yes.
What's the central column?
Well, that Tiferet Yesod.
Yes. But now you're giving me what the sephirot in the central column. You're not telling me what the column is. There's a right column that's sharing. Sharing energy we can understand. We know what it is. Your mother shares her breast milk with you as a baby. You learn to share toys in nursery school and kindergarten. We know what sharing is. We also know what receiving is. And we know that sharing and receiving are opposite energies. But what is the central column energy? We say it's the balance. That when sharing and receiving are in balance, we have a central column. But do we really? What we have is something is sharing and something is receiving, and so they are joined together by this process of sharing, receiving. But do they exist as a separate branch, column of the tree of life? Or are they figments of our imagination? It's the way we understand that it has a third column. We understand there is a balance point where the sharing and the receiving are in balance. The receiving is not demanding more than the sharing can share. The sharing is sharing what the receiving can receive. This is the central column. This is the balance point. But is it real? Your employer has $10,000. You demand it. It's yours. You desire it. Not demand is a better word. You desire it. He's willing to share with you 5,000, but the other 5 he wants to keep for himself. Are they in balance?
Well, I don't know.
You have to think about it. This is called studying Torah, living Kabbalah. The answer to the question is, balance point is an illusion. Because spiritually, receiving and sharing are two different opposite energies. Spiritually, there's no such thing as a balance point. But we consider there to be a balance point. What is that balance point? It's Hashem. Hashem is the balance point. In the physical world, there are 70 nations. 70 nations. 35 sharing nations, 35 receiving nations. What's the balance point? When the sharing nations are sharing with the receiving nations. Well, the sharing nations have all the oil. The receiving nations desire the oil for their technology. How do we get balance? Through the supply and demand curve in economics. How do we get balance between the sharing nations and the receiving nations? This is the role of the children of Israel. It has to flow through the children of Israel so that the spigot can be controlled, so the oil doesn't become too much for the receiving nations, and the receiving nations don't demand more than the sharing nations want to share. The questions are excellent.
So, Israel is the balance point?
For the world's nations.
For both nations.
For the world's 70 nations.
Yes.
If oil goes directly to Indonesia, well, Indonesia produces oil. If oil goes directly from Saudi Arabia to China, is the world in balance? Or does that oil need to flow through a meter called how much is the dollar worth? How much is the oil per barrel? Or does it need to go through the children of Israel so they can take up the slack? When China needs more oil, the children of Israel will find the oil from another country and keep it in balance. When Saudi Arabia wants to sell more oil and China doesn't have the capacity to take it, the children of Israel will find somebody else to take it. Now, it's done economically in our world as a substitute for everything going through the children of Israel. But ultimately, what do the other religions say about the children of Israel? They have all the money. How come they say this? Because the children of Israel act as the balancing mechanism between desire and fulfillment, between supply and demand. Now, we have a totally mixed up world. where are the children of Israel? They don't all live in the land of Israel. Less than half live in the land of Israel. They don't all live in America. Less than half live in America. Where are all the children of Israel? Where are the 10 lost tribes? So the mechanism was changed to be money. But it never was meant to be money. The balancing mechanism is the desire of the children of Israel. It is their role, our role. And the central column will come into existence when the children of Israel are balancing the mechanism.
Sure.
But right now, the children of Israel aren't doing their job. And when they're not doing their job, what happens? The other nations are given permission to attack the children of Israel, to wake us up, to do our job, to be the balancing mechanism. Now, I'm mixing the physical and the spiritual, and so maybe the metaphors I'm using are difficult to understand, but I hope not. There is a central column, but there isn't a central column. In our mentality, in our images, there's a central column. But it doesn't exist yet. And it will only come into existence when the children of Israel are the balancing mechanism. Huh. Now make sure you never say that to an Orthodox Jew. Never say that to an Orthodox Jew because they don't understand this. And even though they say they study Torah, which they do, and even though they say they study Kabbalah, which they do, but they're studying it and they're understanding it intellectually, not at the level
okay,
of emotion.
Another question. I just want to clear that in this case that you just presented, money in this case, it's the balance point now in this case. I mean, it's a vessel. So the children of Israel should be the vessel instead of being the money or the currency.
Correct. Or the money can go to the children of Israel and they will use it to balance it. But the Chinese and the Saudi Arabians should not be concerned with what is the price they're paying. Because all of the money should be in the children of Israel, and they wouldn't use it as the balancing mechanism. The economic law of supply and demand isn't true if there is no limitation. If there's enough oil to satisfy everybody's demand for oil, there's no need for money. The only purpose money serves is to allow some other human being to control how the receiver and the sharer, human being of the oil, how they relate to each other. In a perfect world, the world that is coming, Olam Haba, somebody in China says, I need 10 gallons of oil, or 10 barrels of oil. And somebody in Saudi Arabia says, I have 10 barrels of oil, here they are. The price of the oil shouldn't matter. Somebody demands 10 barrels, somebody supplies 10 barrels. The world is in balance. But somebody says in China, I want 9 barrels. And Saudi Arabia says, I got 10 to move. I don't want to give you just 9. Now we have to have some way of balancing it. Right now, it's the law of supply and demand. In Olam Haba, it will be the children of Israel who will take that 10th barrel from the Saudi Arabians and store it. Now, obviously the explanation I'm giving you is a way of understanding the answer to the question you asked. I have no idea what the economic system in Olam Haba will be. What I do know is it will not be capitalism.
Now I understand a little bit the concept of the kibbutz.
The concept of what? The kibbutz?
Yeah, like everybody's the same, you know, you work for what you need and you share.
The concept of achdut, of unity.
No, I mean the kibbutz, what they used to have, you know, the people to Israel.
The kibbutzim, it's plural. The concept of the kibbutz where everybody owned the same thing. Everybody had a share. There was no difference in anybody sharing. The kibbutz, you know, putting it on a level of money, the kibbutz produced 1 million bushels of fruit a year, and everybody agreed that they had 1/1000th of the 200 bushels. You're absolutely correct. That is the concept of the kibbutz. But then the kibbutz was working with other people that weren't kibbutz. Or one kibbutz had a desire for something and the other kibbutz had the supply of that thing. The concepts are difficult to understand, but they're really easy to understand. But the concept of the central column is not easy to understand. The central column is a balancing mechanism between supply, between sharing, and receiving demand. We ready to go on?
Yeah.
Verse 13. Witana kad sali kibiruta lemi vreo raita temira tire alfe shenin viatka miad Amraka mea man divide liat kena Ume ba duya ta ken bikad me ta bikuno. We have learned that when his wish came to pass, the wish of the emanator to create the Torah, she was hidden for 2,000 years, and he produced her, meaning he created her. She immediately said to him, whoever wishes to restore and accomplish, let him first tend to his own constructions. Questions, comments, thoughts. This is the first wisdom of Torah. What is the first wisdom of Torah? Take care of yourself. The Saudi Arabians have oil. They have more oil than they need. They need food. China needs oil, but it has food to give to Saudi Arabia. The first wisdom of the Torah is the Saudi Arabians need to take care of themselves before they share the oil with China. And China needs to take care of its food for themselves before they share food with Saudi Arabia. So, has this verse in my explanation confused you?
Is that the same as what it says here?
Is it selfish to take care of yourself first?
I don't think so.
You're correct. It's not selfish. You were created as a desire, as a human being has a desire to receive, and it's important that the human being takes care of its desires first, before it shares with others. Because if you try and share before you have, you're going to run out. Any other questions? Because we've finished this section. We're going to go on to section 3 unless there's a question. Section 3. The membrane of air and the concealed brain. That should be very clear. Or as they say in the world of Kabbalah, it's as clear as mud. I'm sorry. Section 3 is the most ancient among the ancients. Verse 14. Tana bisnu ta desifra ati ta diatikin sitra desitri tamir ditmirin itsekan the isman is the man kehat sava desavin atik me atikin. Tamir mitzmirin utikunoi yediya vela yediya mare dehibar yesu vechezu usita dianpo yati val kursi ayo Dishvivin litrach teyayo lon. We have learned from the Tsiniyuta Tsifra, the hidden book, about the most ancient among the ancient, the most concealed of the concealed, the most hidden of the hidden, who is his corrections, his formations, was corrected and came like the oldest among the old, the most ancient of the ancient, the most hidden of the hidden, who in his constructions is known yet unknown. He is dressed in white and has a radiant white countenance. He resides on the throne of fiery sparks in order to subdue them. Questions, comments, thoughts. I think the verse is a bit esoteric, don't you?
What is this referring to, Hashem, or the light?
Is there a difference between Hashem and the light, Jasmine? They both are fulfillments.
No.
They're both extensions of the Creator. Hashem is not the Creator. The light is not the Creator. The light is an extension of the Creator. There needs to be a start, or does there need to be a start? Did the universe always exist, or was there a beginning to the universe? Just because it says the first word in the Torah is Bereshit, which we would interpret that there must be a beginning, it doesn't mean there has to be a beginning. It could be that the universe, the Creator, always existed. There was no beginning to the Creator. He always was there. And he decided to create a playground for himself. So he created a world. He created a universe. That's one possibility. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe he didn't always exist, and there was a beginning to the Creator. But we don't think that. Because the idea of a beginning to the Creator means there has to be an end to the Creator. And that's, God forbid, there's an end to God. So what this verse is describing is this white radiance, this white energy. It's using the term dressed in white. And it's using the idea that it's sitting on a throne of fiery sparks. Remember, white is right column. Fiery sparks is left column. What is the balance? The balance is that the white energy is sitting, controlling the left energy. The idea of sitting is the balance mechanism. But we are dealing with a level of creation where it says the most ancient of ancients. We are dealing with the emanator. What is the emanator? What's the world of Atzilut? The world of emanations. Was there something that emanated the emanations? Or did the world of emanation come into being? What is the meaning of emanations? Things were created. That's an emanation. Different levels of energy. Those are emanations. The idea of emanations is you start with a point and expand from that point. That's the concept of emanations. Now, I know that this is not understandable. As I said at the beginning of the discussion, I'm not on the level to understand this. There's much deeper explanations, but I don't have them. I'm giving you the best that I can based on what I have learned. There's a lot here. And that's why this is there are two parts in the Zohar. One is the Idra Rabba, the large teaching, the large community consisting of 10 people. And then there's the Idra Zuta, which is the day that he died. And the Idra Zuta consists of 7 people. Because 3 had already died. But these people that are that's being talked about are Rabbi Shimon and his son, his father-in-law, and his students. Some things need to be concealed. Some things need to be revealed. And sometimes what is revealed needs to be concealed again. Sometimes what is revealed, or sometimes what is concealed, it's time to reveal it. So on Lag BaOmer, we study the deepest teachings, which is the Idra Rabba. Doesn't mean we understand it. It means we are connecting to the light, the energy of the Organus, the concealed light. And that's what this verse is describing. And it's telling us that that concealed light is white, which is a code word meaning right column energy. Verse 15. Arba mea alfe alnin it peshat hivavra de gulgalta dare sho umin hiru de hai hivavra yarte sadikaya le alma de ate dalad mea Almin hahidikti arba meot shekel kesef over la soher. Throughout 400,000 worlds, the whiteness of the skull in the head, which is Arishan Pin, spreads. The illuminating light of this whiteness is the legacy of the righteous in the world that is coming, consisting of 400 worlds. This is what is written. 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchants. That's not the English translation that you read in the Bible in verse 23:16. But that's the 400 shekels of silver that Abraham paid to Ephron, the Hittite, for his cave and his land of Machpelah, the land of the four kings. There's 400 worlds. Or there's 400,000 worlds. Are the two sets of worlds different? They're different frames of reference. The world that is coming is going to give each person 400 worlds to be responsible for. Are you ready to be responsible for something other than yourself? You see how much more further we must develop. We must learn. Are there any questions? There are seven of you online right now talking, listening to me. Does anybody have any questions about this verse, or should I go on to the next section? Or have I put everybody to sleep and so their phone is on but they're not hearing?
Go on to the next section.
Thank you, Brandy.
Please. Welcome.
The next section is called the skull. You know what the skull, the word for skull in Aramaic? Golgotha. You know how many people have been searching for Golgotha in the New Testament? Go ahead.
I mean, like, our perception of a skull, the way that, you know, that we see it in different places, is like the sense of death. I mean, it's like a, you know, that's what.
That's very well said.
When I see it, that's what it means to me, you know, in my head.
That's the energy, that's the essence of the image of a skull to most people. But the image of a skull is not death, but the beginning of life. When the baby forms, what's the first part of the baby that forms? The body or the head?
There's a head.
The first part, the head is the first part that forms. And how does the head form? It forms with a skull that has opening. So it can grow. It takes 3 years for the bones of the skull to come together and close and encase the brain. But essentially, a skull is life. Now, in Kabbalah, we're taught that we're in an upside-down world, right?
Right.
So we see a skull as death, but it's actually life. But how do we see it as life when we're surrounded by people who show us pictures of skeletons? And we don't think a body should be a skeleton. But isn't that the beginning of the body? Don't you need the skeleton to be able to stand up? You need the foundation? We don't think. We absorb the society around us. And Kabbalah is teaching us to reject the society around us while we live and assist the society around us. We live within it, we help it, we share with it, but we know it's not Hashem. It's a tool to be utilized in order to go to grow to higher levels of consciousness. And at the same time, the paradox is, can I be next to the light? Or I'm going to burn up. The light is too strong for me. So I am going to die as Hamos, Chas V'Shalom. But I join the community of righteous people who have let their egos go and are assisting Hashem in a different way, in different worlds, in different levels. So is the idea of a skull being death incorrect? There are different ways to perceive things, and they're all correct. And that's why it's called Cuckoo Kabbalah. Verse 16. The Begu Galta Yadvi Tule Sar Alfe Rebo Almin Denatlin Alo Raglin Vesamkin Alo me hai gugalta datis tala lehahu dilvar umalyayo lereshaya vikoyomaditi sharoshi nimla tau. In the skull, which is Keter of Arishan Pin, reside 13,000 times 10,000, or 130 million worlds, that move on feet and are supported by them. From this skull, dewdrops flow daily to the exterior one, to Zeranjin, and fill the head every single day, as it is written, "For my head is filled with dew." A verse from Shir HaShirim. Questions, comments, thoughts? What do you know about the number 13?
Love.
Love.
Ahava.
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 Deaga.
Ahava.
Caring. Ahava. Deaga. Love and caring. Absolutely. Echad. The unity of one. So if it says there's 130 million, is it talking about unity or separation?
Unity.
How many people are in the world? 7.5 billion. All these people in the world, are they all human beings? Yes. Are they all unique? Yes. So which is it? Are they different, unique, or are they unified? This verse is telling us. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, what's the relationship between worlds and move on feet? Now you just said it, it's human beings.
But not limited that way. That's one frame of existence. That's one frame of reference. There are also 130 million insects, and each insect is a world. How many drops of water are in the ocean? Oh, but we see the ocean as unified. There's only one ocean or seven oceans. But how many drops of water are there? And here the verse is telling us that coming from the Keter of Arikantin, coming from the skull, every day, there are worlds, 130 million worlds, of dew. What is dew? Well, we're going to learn, but we have already learned. Dew is a concept of the energy of resurrection. In order for a body who has died to be resurrected, it must receive dew. It must receive the energy of dew, the energy of water, the energy of condensation that comes out of the air. What is the air? Air is the central column. You can only resurrect in a balanced state of consciousness. Do not accept
how
what I'm saying. Go ahead, Jasmine.
How do you relate the Hebrew letters of two with the concept?
The Hebrew letters are Ket Lamed, the last word in the verse.
Yeah,
how would you relate the letters? What is the meaning of the Tet? Let me rephrase it. What's the meaning of the Lamed?
Teacher, learning.
Good. Good. Education. What's the Tet composed of? You don't realize it, but when you make it in the Torah, the Tet is composed of a Kaf and a Vav. Sometimes it's a Kaf and a Zion. The circle, the curved line is a Kaf. What's the energy of the Kaf? It's that of a hand, of your palm. It's also
the
concept of a vessel. It's process of a vessel. The kaf means, in Hebrew, means palm of your hand.
Yeah.
The vav is the channel. But a zion, the kaf and the zion have a gematria of 27. Which is all of the Hebrew letters, both the regular form of the Hebrew letters plus the five final forms. So the energy of the word tal is to teach the vessel. How do you resurrect the body? You have to teach it to live again. And what I will be repeating frequently tonight, I have no idea if this is true. Intuitively, it's true for me. But you have to assess this yourselves. But the energy of our discussion, you can receive without understanding. And that's what's taking place. This is Lag BaOmer, where we are connecting with the Organus, the hidden light. We can reveal the hidden light, and that's what we are attempting to do as much as we are capable of at this point in our spiritual growth. Verse 17. Ume hahu tala dianar me resheya hahu dihu livar itarun me tayayo lealma diate dikti kital o rot talecha. O rot nehora devav varta yatika umehahu tala mitkaimin kadishe elyonin vehu manadita me letzadikaya Lealma diate vedatifahu Tala lehakla Letapuhin Kadishin haidikti Veta al shik vat Atal vehine Alpene hamid bar Dach behus pas Behezu hahu Talahi bar Yehai gav now Be'avin Be'olacha Be'itchaz yayo Kol gavin Be'gavav Ahidikti V'eino Ke'en habedolach. From that dew which is outside, and which Zeron Pim shakes off from his head, the dead wake up to life in the world that is coming, as it is written. For your dew is as the dew of herbs, also of lights. This is because this dew is the illumination of the white light of Atika, meaning the whiteness of the skull that is named Atika. And from that dew, the supreme holy beings are sustained. That is the mana that is ground for the righteous in the world that is coming. The dew flows to the field of holy apple trees, Malhut, as it says. And when the layer of dew was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a fine, flaky substance. The appearance of that dew is white, like the crystal stones that appear to contain all the colors within them, as is written. And its color was like the color of crystal. Questions, comments, thoughts? How do we access this dew? If we knew that, we would have already done it. But Hashem sent manna in the desert. The children of Israel ate manna for 40 years. They never went to the bathroom for 40 years. Why not? Because the dew was designed, created, to be a perfect food. There's no waste product. This dew that I just described is not the dew of the resurrection. The dew we received in the desert was from Zeranpin. This is coming from so much higher, from Arik. Arikanpin pours dew onto the skull or the head of Zeranpin, and Zeranpin pours that dew down into Malchut. Does Zeranpin do anything with the dew on its head? When you take a shower, the water that falls in your hair, what happens to it? You shake it off, and it goes to the ground, goes to Malchut. Zeranpin has nothing to do with it except to shake its head. Except to let it fall off its head. Verse 18. Hai Galgalta Gulgata Gulgalta Ki vavra dileya anhir lit lesar ivar kalifin besachara no lear ba ivar besitra achad ular ba ivar besitrada besitradian po ular ba Ivar, Besitrada, Besitradiachora, Behadleela, Gugalta, whiteness of this skull, the Keter of Arikan Pin, radiates light to the 13 directions engraved around it. Four directions on this side of the face, four directions on that side of its face. On the right and the left of the skull, on the side against the front of the face, and four directions on the back side. One direction is on top of the skull, in the center, between right and left. Questions, comments, thoughts. If you were listening to the earlier session, when we were answering some questions about astrological influences, we talked about the need or the way the world was transforming, that there were now 13 astrological signs, zodiac signs, not 12, that is based on Hebrew astrology from the past. Are we changing it? No. We're not changing it. We're using it as a base of knowledge and recognizing that it has to be 13 because there were 13 tribes. But everybody's taught there's only 12 tribes. But don't count the names. You'll find that there are 13. Because Menashe and Ephraim replaced Joseph. So one went away and two were left behind for a total of 13.
Oh, why not 16?
Say again?
Why not 16? Four of each direction.
Good question. How many directions are there?
Eight. Five. Three?
There's six. There's right and left, front and back, up and down. Six directions.
Okay.
So what does it mean, four directions on one side? How can it be four directions on the right? What are those four directions? They are code words for the concept of Chesed, Gebura, Tiferet, and Malchut on the right. At the Shabbat table for the Kabbalists, they have 12 loaves of challah, and they form them into a formation of Yud He Vav He, because they have six male and six female breads. Six female is the round challah, and the long challah is the six male. And they form them into Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the right. And the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the right are Chesed, Gebura, Tiferet, and Malchut. Those are the four directions. These are code words. And we've been learning in our studies of Zohar about these code words. Could we understand it if we didn't have the previous study? No. But we can receive the energy. But the answer to your question is right, left. Let's see. Right and left and front are the three directions, each with the four. So the directions we're missing is the back and up and down. Do those directions make sense in the frame of the tree of life? In the frame of the Torah, does it make sense to have 16? No. Remember, Adam and Eve were created back to back. Why were they created back to back? Because Eve is supposed to be the eyes of Adam in his back, behind him. But she's only looking out from that direction. He's looking out from his direction. They're two different frames of reference. The four on the right, the four on the left, the four in front. These are the directions that we deal with. We don't see behind us. We don't see above us. We don't see below us. These are different frames of reference. We learned tonight what a world is, correct? Now we're learning what is a world, but also how does the tree of life relate to that world? Should I go on, or do we need to stay at this verse 18? Verse 19. Ume ha'it peshat or kadian pol. Lead lat mea peshavin ribo. Almin wehahu it kere eret apain. Vahayatika yatikin itkedre arika diantin vahahu dilvar itkere ze'er antin lekabilea yatika saba kodesh kadashim dekuchaya Uzer Ampin Kadistakal Lehai Kola Diltata Itekan Vianpo Mit Pashtin Viarikin Behahuzimna Avala Koshata Kemadiatika From this, the length of the face of Arikan Pin spreads unto the 370 times 10,000 worlds. This is referred to as long suffering. Literally, it says a long face. Therefore, this most ancient Atika is called Arikan Pin, which is Aramaic for long face. That one outside, the one that coats from the navel downward of Arikan Pin, where it is considered as the exterior of the body, is called Zeran Pin, corresponding to the old Hatika, the Holy of Holies of the Holies, which is Arikan Pin. When Zeran Pin gazes at Arikan Pin, all below get restored, and its face spreads and lengthens during that period. This is only in periods of favor, but not all the time, like Atika, which is Arichantin. Questions, comments, thoughts? Have you ever seen the glyph, the diagram of the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, where the lowest letter, He, represents the two legs and the hips? The Vav kind of peeks out of the low, goes just slightly below the line, the top line of that He, and the rest of it goes up through the just underneath the tape. And the tape represents the two arms. And the yud is on top of the tape. So you have the four letters, yud, he, vav, he, but it's really in the shape of a man. There's a head, there's two arms and the chest. There is the vav that runs through to the sexual organ, and then the two legs that extend past the sexual organ. If you've seen that glyph, that design, this verse can be understood. You can relate the verse as the tetragrammaton in that glyph form. I'm going to go on because, truthfully, I don't understand the verse. But that's okay. We're receiving the energy from the verse. Verse 20. Ume hai gulgalta nafik hadivar. Tivar legul galta dizer antin betachna reshea umehai lishar gul galtain iltata delayed lone hushpana we call gul galta yahavin agar hivarta. Liatik yomin kadalin vechushpana tehot sharvita vecha lakabel dabecha ladul golet letata kadalin vechushpana. From this skull, which is Keter of Arichan Pin, emanates one white side from the 13 whitenesses of the skull to the skull of Zeran Pin, which is his Keter, to construct his head, meaning to establish for him the first three sephirot that are referred to as the head. From the skull of Zeran Pin is drawn the white illumination for the rest of the lower skulls, referring to the crowns in the grades of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya that are without number. Each skull pays a fee for the illuminating of the whiteness to Atik Yomin when they are accounted under the scepter and the half shekel per skull that the children of Israel give in their senses down below is parallel to this. Questions, comments, thoughts? Truthfully, I have a glimpse of what this is saying. It's describing how each world grows from the world above it. But beyond that, it's a mystery to me at this point. Now, I'm going to read the synopsis of the section, because the section is over. And as a teaching tool, I recommend not to read the synopsis until after you have read the section's verses. Because when you read the synopsis, it takes away free choice. Wherever your intuition will take you in reading a particular section, when you read the synopsis, you're directed of where to go. And in my opinion, it's better to do it on your own and then check the synopsis to see what you missed. So Rabbi Shimon describes the skull of Arikan 10, in which are 130 million worlds, and he describes the flow of dew to Zeran 10, and by which the dead wake up in the world that is coming. He talks about that dew that sustains the supreme holy ones, and about the mana that sustains the righteous in the future. We learn how the whiteness of this skull radiates light in 13 directions, and how the dew flows to Zeran 10. The white illumination for the rest of the lower skulls, the crowns in the grades of the three worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, is drawn from the skull of Zeran 10, from the dew that falls from the skull. So the synopsis is really only talking about the first two verses. Section 5. Membrane of air and concealed brain. Verse 21. Behalala de Gugalta Teruma de Avira de Hachmeta Ila Satima de la Pasak. Behaila Shakia Willa Isbeta Behai Karuma Ithapyayo Almocha Dehu Akhmeta Satima Ugine Ka Ithasya Hai Akhmeta Behahu Karuma Delight Bacha. In the hollow space of the skull, there exists a tissue made of air of concealed upper chachma that is not detachable. That is to say, in the cracks of the skull, there is the brain of air of supernal chachma, and underneath the brain of air, there is an unbroken membrane. It is not common that it be broken, and it never opens. The membrane covers the brain, which is concealed chachma of Arichantin. In Arichantin, there are three heads, besides the one head that is Atik. These are the skull and the upper concealed chachma, which is referred to as the brain of air, that is in the cracks of the skull, which is the second head. The lower concealed chachma is in the hollow of the skull, which is the third head. The membrane is located underneath the brain of air and above the concealed chachma and covers the concealed chachma, so it should not radiate its illumination to the outside of the membrane. This is why this chachma was covered with the membrane that is impenetrable. Questions, comments, thoughts? The verse is telling us that we have three parts in Keter. We have the skull. We have something that's underneath the skull. And we have something that is above the skull. Is that true of the human brain? Essentially, it is. Because we have the skull, and below the skull, we have the brain. And above the skull, we have this idea of the brain of air, which is the surrounding light. The light that wants to be revealed, but in order to be revealed, it has to find its way into your body, and so it can be revealed as inner light. Now, I'm using terms that we would not normally use, but that's what this verse is saying to me. But they're using different code words. Yes, Jasmine.
You mean the outside is like what we call the aura of the person?
In some of the New Age teachings, it's called the aura. But there are levels of aura, so I don't like using the word because it doesn't really describe what it's talking about. But yes, for lack of a better language, we can say it's the aura above the skull. And that aura wants to be revealed, and in order to be revealed, it has to become inside the body.
But in physicality, what we have on top of our skull is the skin and the hair.
That's correct. So, but it's being described as the brain of air. There is the brain of air of the supernal wisdom. The supernal chachma. And underneath the brain of air, there is an unbroken membrane. That would be the skin. Or the unbroken membrane is the bones of the skull. And the skin is the klipah.
What about the hair?
The hair is an antenna to draw the energy of chesed, which we need in this world, but we wouldn't need at the level that this is being described of Arishan Pin, because it's way up there in the Keter. It's way up there above the what we're talking about in the physical world. Verse 22, unless there's other questions, I don't want to rush. We have plenty of time until I fall asleep, so that was a joke. Verse 22, Wehai mochadihu ai hachmata tati ma'a Shaki Blish Tiki Beatreya Kahamar Taval Durdeya Behainu Diam Re Saba Saba Diato Satim Umoheya Satim Vishaki. This brain, which is the concealed hakma, that is the third head of Arikam Pin, is still and quiet in its location, like fine wine above its sediments. That is why they say an old person's mind is vague, and his brain is veiled and not agitated. Questions, comments, thoughts? So, do I need to explain this verse, or is it clear as written? If an older person's mind is vague, it means they're not focusing on details, they're seeing a whole picture. And when you're looking at the whole picture, there's no need to be agitated by the details, no need to be concerned.
Therefore, his brain spread out to 32 paths.
It is written, and a river went out of Eden. Why so? Because the membrane gets broken and does not cover the brain. We have learned that from the letter's impressions, like that Tav, impressed upon Atik Yomin, Arikan Tin, the incomparable. What is the energy of the letter Tau?
Death.
Death and rebirth. Look at the top. Oh. You have a little foot going out to the left, indicating there's a new birth. But the Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, yes, being the N indicates the energy of finality, of death. But we know from looking at the way the Tav is shaped that it is not the end. There's always another beginning. How does that relate to the 32 paths? The number 32 is Lamed Bet. The students of Kabbalah know that Lamed Bet spells the Hebrew word Lev, meaning heart.
Heart.
But what is the heart of wisdom? There's 32 paths of wisdom, 32 paths within Chokmah. But this is telling us that because the membrane detached, because it broke it and does not cover the brain, it spreads out into 32 paths. And we learn from the Sefer Yetzirah, those paths are not public paths. Not everybody can walk those paths. Those paths are native, which are private paths. Yes, they're paths. People can walk on the path. But they're not public. They're concealed. And that's the essence of Chokmah, of wisdom. It's concealed in order to reveal it. And that's why each person has to learn the Kabbalah, to study the Zohar or other.
Hello? Are you still there?
I don't know if he's there, but I'm here.
I'm here too. He got disconnected.
He maybe did. He'll come back on.
So did you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay. Well, I was hearing you all the time, except when I got off to make sure I could get back on.
Okay.
So what I was asking was, I was explaining what the Sefer Yetzirah describes as the difference between a public path, which is the halakha, or a private path, which is the word native. And that wisdom needs to be concealed before it is revealed. And that's why it's a private path. And we have the 32 paths of wisdom, which is also the 32 teeth in the mouth, which is the level of malchut in the physicality of the head. So unless anybody has a question, we've finished this section. I want to read the synopsis. We learn about the membrane that covers the brain, that is the concealed chachma of Arichampin. The brains of Zerampin spread out to 32 paths, because the membrane is detached from him. Section 6 is pure wool. Verse 24. Tana Bagil Galta Dere Shatalyan Elefalfin Rebo Vishivat Alfin Vichamesh Meakotse Vesare Ivar Venaki Kechai Amra Dadihu Naki Dila Istabach Dabda Dilaliahaza Irbuvia Batikuno Elakola Alborea Dila Nafik Nima Minima Bisara Misara. We have learned that in the skull of the head, that is in Keter of Arichampin, there are thousands and thousands of tens of thousands, 7,000 and 500 groups of hairs. They are clean and white like wool, that is clean and free of knots. Untangled so as not to appear tangled, but everything is in its place, and not even minutely intrusive, without one hair over another hair. Questions, comments, thoughts? Historically, in Hebrew, they never had a number that was larger than 10,000. And the way they expressed large numbers was in this way, thousands of thousands of tens of thousands. But the numbers that are there are 10, 7, and 5. 7, we know, represents Zerampin, the lower level of spirituality. 10 represents all of it, including the brain, including the head. It represents the 10 Sephirot. And 5 represents a different frame of reference describing the tree of life. The 5 represents Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut. I can't really explain or don't understand myself the concepts of a hair. A hair is a code word for the antenna to draw chesed, to draw loving kindness. But this idea that there's no hair that grows or covers another hair. Everything is able to be received. Everything is in its place. This is serenity. This is everything is good. There's no conflicts. There's no disagreements. Everything is comfortable. Verse 25. Arba Meavese Ni Me Desare Kehushvan Tadosh. We call Nima the Nima Lahit Arba Mea. Why is it all mean? We call Alma the Alma, Satin the Ganis, the late Yeda, Lone Bariu, the Lahit, the Arba Mea, the Esser, Ivar. Each individual lock of hair has 410 bundles of hair as the numerical value of Kadosh, holy. Each hair strand glows in 410 worlds as the numerical value of Kadosh. Each world is concealed and hidden and is entirely unknown. Except to itself, it glows to 410 directions, also the numerical value of Kadosh. And this is the secret meaning of the three recited holinesses. Holy, holy, holy. We say this in the Kedusha, in the Amidah. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kivodo. Now, what is the meaning of the number 410? It is the meaning of Kadosh. Kuf, Dalet, Vav, Shin. 410. But it's also 41 times 10. And 41 is the number, the gematria of the word im, mother. And times 10 represents a complete structure of 10 sephirot. The mother is Bina, the world that is coming. So we have Bina on the right, Bina on the left, and Bina in the central. Those are the three Kadoshas. Verse 26. Uvechal nima v'nima it babua. Dinafik mi mocha satima'a, v'nahir v'nagid v'ha'hu nima, l'nimin dizer andin, u'mehai mitan mocha'a, u'vdein v'nagid, ha'hu mocha lit latin, Utrain Shavilin. Each individual strand of hair has a wellspring that emanates from a concealed brain. That is the third head of Arikantin. It glows and flows from these strands to the strands of Zerantin, and the brain of Zerantin is constructed from these, meaning it receives the first three sephirot. Then the brain of Zerantin flows to the 32 paths of Chochmah. Questions, comments, thoughts? No questions. So we'll just make the statement that this verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. But there's an interesting spiritual law essentially saying that the upper three sephirot doesn't come into Zerantin except from above. They're not created within the frame of Zerantin. They flow into it separately. The head comes in a flow. This is an important spiritual teaching. But it also means we have to become aware. Right now we're talking very esoterically. We're talking about very high-level spirituality items. But how does that change your life to know this information? And the answer is, by receiving the energy, you grow your vessel so that you can understand the energy. And once you understand it, you'll be able to answer the question, how does this information become a change in the way I live, in how I live the Torah, how I study the Torah?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
The way I see this paragraph that describes that the three sephirot of the brain, they're just remaining the brain. So the 32 paths, they go down to Zerantin.
No, we were talking about Zerantin. These 32 paths are going into Chochmah of Malchut.
But the I see sentence. That.
Go ahead.
I see that the three sephirot are in Arik and Pin.
Right. But
and
then they flow into Zerantin.
Right.
And then from Zerantin, which now has 10 sephirot, not just the 7, not just the 6. It has the three upper ones also that have flown into Zerantin from Arikantin. Now Zerantin needs to share, and it flows, which is sharing, to the 32 paths of Chochmah. But Chochmah is above Zerantin, so it has to be flowing into Chochmah of Malchut.
Okay.
Verse verse 27. Wikol kotza v'kotza mit lahatan v'tal yan mit sakdan v'tikuna yae v'tikuna shapira mehapyan al bugalta mit ata mit takne kotze d'nimin May high sitra, may high sitra, al gulgalta, betana konima venima iwi mikita, mima buin satimin, denafkin me mimoka, satima. All individual tips within each group of hair glow and hang. They are nicely arranged and cover the skull. Groups of hair strands are well established on each side over the skull. That is on the right, the left, and the middle. We have learned that each individual bunch of hair is a continuous flow of the sealed well springs that emanate from the concealed brain, which is the third head of our Rikan Pin. Questions, comments, thoughts? Again, this is a verse that's clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. If we only understood all of the code words here. But the meaning of glow and hang, these are code words that have not truly been explained. At least I can't remember that I've studied the explanations. But remember, to truly learn something, you have to read it 101 times. Not just read it, but study it, contemplate it. That's why we're going to need at least 300 more years of life in order to make a dent in what we don't even understand. Go ahead.
I have not a problem, but the way I see it, I believe this is all coded, because what about, you know, people that they're bald, they don't have no hair?
They need more loving kindness in their life. They have to do more than just exist. The hair is an antenna for loving kindness. They have to do more to receive the same amount of loving kindness. It takes more effort from people who are bald. There's all quiet on this phone call. Are you enjoying my sense of humor?
I am. Actually, I'm laughing myself because it's like, well, you know.
Verse 28. Betana mistaro debarna shistamoda mai hu idina irachame mikad avrin alo arbein janin va'af Hasidu Tadi Hu Olam the Sareya Bazir Ben Ubi Bino. We have learned that a person's character is revealed from his hair, whether he is harsh or compassionate. That is after the age of 40. Even in his youth, it is also apparent in his hair and his shape and his eyelashes. Questions, comments, thoughts? This verse is giving you a general idea of face reading. By learning the color of the hair, the fineness, the coarseness, there's many things to learn about character traits, midot, the way people treat other people comes from reading the faces. Reading the hair. the letters that appear on the forehead. Go ahead, Jasmine.
I just want to say, I see, my daughter, I have a, teenager. And, those kids, they put extension in their hands and they use eyelashes. And all that, so kind of, you're adding more.
If you put an extension on the end of your hair, you're adding more.
Yeah, and the eyelashes too.
Yeah. When you get dressed up as a woman tends to get dressed up, I don't mean to be chauvinist, but a woman gets dressed up. Is she the same woman that she was before she started to get dressed up? Is her consciousness about herself the same? I would say it's not.
No.
The way she feels about herself changes by the way she looks. The way so she puts an extension on her hair. It's changing her character. So we can read the change by understanding and knowing what those extensions mean in the frame of hair. Most people don't know that. Most people today would think it's rather crazy to think that you can know what a person's character is by reading their face, by reading the shape of their eyes, the color of their eyes, the shape of their nose and their mouth. All of these things come into the picture of face reading. There's a lot of wisdom. Wouldn't you like to know if the person you're talking to is a liar or is he telling the truth? You can tell from reading his face. Verse 29. Kosin dare talyan de tikune na ke kamar ne ke adit kitpo adkitpo sod ela adreshe te kitpo dela itraze kula mishum. Willow Panin Vesara Salik Avatro Udin Dilalaha Pyayo Halo Diktiv Liot Azmecha Pekuchot. The locks of hair hang to his shoulders, neat as refined wool. Do you think covering his shoulders? It is just to the top of his shoulders, covering the back part of the neck. Since it is written, they turn their back to me and not their face. The hairs are tucked behind the ears in order not to cover the ears. As it is written, let your ears be attentive. I'm going to excuse myself for a few minutes. In terms of the vernacular, our diuretics fall. But you can either hang up and come back in 5 minutes or stay connected and talk with each other. But I will ask the question for you to think about. This verse 29, do you have any questions? Please hold on to them. Questions, comments, or thoughts until I return, which will not be long.
Can someone tell me where he's reading? Huh? I said, can someone tell me what he's reading from?
Oh. It was verse 29.
I know, but what of what? Verse 29 of what?
Portion. Oh, wait a minute. It was, I guess, pure wool. Number 6.
What is it?
Number 6, pure wool.
Behor? Is it Behor?
Pure wool. Section 6.
Oh, he must be on the site of the Unity.
Yeah, Section 6.
Okay, well, I can't open that up. I never have been able to. The thing was, when we came back after the first session, I didn't know where he was. And then I figured it was that. I went to that. And they won't send me my password. And they won't accept me as a new...
happened to me
account.
In the beginning.
Yeah. And then I fell asleep. And I woke up again, so I'm back.
Okay.
So I'm just listening. So I'm going to mute again. And like I said, I have to be somewhere at 8 o'clock, so I couldn't, I didn't think I could stay too long. But I'll see. Okay, thank you, Jasmine. I appreciate it. I'll just have to leave.
Sure.
I'm back. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts on Pasuk 29? Is it describing how people should wear their hair? What is it telling us? I guess I'll go on to verse 30.
Yes.
Is that you, Hannah? Ta'ara dinatik mi batar udno uleya kushikula la nafik daminda tikuna shalim tikuna yae Tikuna Shapira Ta'il Lemecheme Tiyuta Tehed Vavta Tetzadikaya Yo Tehinun Bizer Altin Lemecheme Ulit Dabeka Tikuno Tiatika Sutima adikola. The hairs showing behind the ears are equally long, with none intruding on each other. That is a perfect form, a proper form, a beautiful form, lovely to behold. The yearning and joy of the righteous that are in Zerantin is to observe and cling to the form of the Ancient One, which is completely concealed, which is Arishantin. Questions, comments, thoughts? So this verse is clear as written. There's very little comments by Rabbi Ashlag. But it answers a question I asked from verse 29. It's talking about the way people should hold their hair. I'm making a joke, people. Brighten up, I know it's late. But is it really?
Well, I understand that that's like directions how to wear your, how do you, you know, to where you use your hair.
You don't see it that way?
I see it that way.
The hairs showing behind the ears are equally long. They're the same length. And none intrude on each other. Then everything is neat and simple and soft. The perfect form, a proper form, a beautiful form. Lovely to behold. So how you should wear your hair. But what if your hair is curly? What if the hairs intrude on each other? What is that telling you about yourself? You have to study the face reading to understand what the hair tells you when it's curly, when it's straight, when it's blonde, when it's red, when it's brown when it's black. What is it telling you? You have to study face reading. Verse 31. Yudgimoni min desarin, kai me hai sitra, who me hai sitra, de gul galta, lika bel anpo, uvinun sharyan, sare lit balga, lit damala, belfo, anpo uvinun sharyam sare lit galga leyat semala behai atika satima'a tola yamina itchaze satim vila satim vihai Tikuneya Kafshin Beya. There are 13 locks, meaning bundles of hairs on each side of the skull, which is Keter of Arishanpin. Against his face, with them, the hairs begin to part. The aspect of left does not exist in this concealed Atik. Arishanpin, it is totally of the right. Seen yet not seen, concealed though unconcealed. All this is a reflection of its form and more on its own self. Questions, comments, thoughts? You know what the number 13 means? Ahava, love, deaga, caring. Echad, unity.
The 13 attributes?
In Zeranpin, there are 13 attributes. In Arishanpin, there are a different set of 13 attributes. And it's saying it's the 13 attributes of mercy because there's no left. There's nothing about desire to receive. And the hairs begin to part from each other. That's why people have parts on the side of their hair, the side of their head. Some people part on the right, some people part on the left. Some people part down the middle.
Yeah, so I was checking my hair and see what.
That's why it's good to be male, because you don't have any hair on anymore. Just joking.
Okay, my part is on the right. Is that a good sign? I'm back.
Well, welcome back. I'm going to really confuse you, Anna. Your head is parted on your right. But when you face the ark, from the standpoint of the Shekhinah, who is in the ark, your hair is parted on the left.
That's true, and I tell you all the time, I have trouble with left and right ever since I taught first grade. Because I used to stand in front of them
And whenever I would say right, I'd raise my left hand because that's what they saw. Second graders are the same way. They have trouble if you're doing the opposite of the word that you're saying until about the end of second, and then they're able to handle it. But I still respond that way. I have to really think to not respond the opposite way if I say right. So,
I had a friend of mine growing up as a teenager in high school. He had trained himself to answer yes by shaking his head left to right. And answer no by shaking it up and down, which is obviously opposite to the normal human being. He had a lot of fun with it. Verse 32. We all high taivu b'nei Yisrael, the tzarfa b'li b'chon, dikti v'yesh, Hashem b'kir b'nu, imayin b'ein ze'er antin, dikrei Hashem u'vein, Arich Antin, Deikre Ayin, Amai Itanashu, Mishum Delavidu, Behavivuta, Elabenis Yona, Dikivial Nasotam. Et Hashem lemor hayesh, Hashem bekir beinu imayin. The children of Israel were longing to test this and to examine in their hearts as it is written, is Hashem among us or not? Meaning between Zeranpin called Hashem and Arishanpin called not. He then asks, if so, why were they punished? And he responds, because they did not do so out of love, but simply testing, as it is written. And because they tempted Hashem, saying, is Hashem among us or not? Questions, comments, thoughts? This verse is clear as written.
Not for me, because I see that the correlation of Zeranpin call Hashem and Arik and Pin is Arik and Pin call not. What is that?
Nothing. If you're counting, what is zero?
Zero, nothing.
Nothing. But if, as we learn in Kabbalah, less is more. So nothing is what? It's everything. Arishanpin, the name of Arishanpin in a different frame is not, is nothing. It's the word ein. Aleph Yud Nun. Rearrange those letters. Aleph Nun Yud is Ani. It's Hashem. It's everything. Or it's nothing. Aleph Yud Nun. Just rearranging those two letters. Nothing becomes everything. The Zerantin is called Hashem. We get that from a number of different places in the Zohar, talking about the gematria of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh when spelled out with Aleph.
Okay, yes.
When spelled out with Aleph, it becomes a gematria 45, which is the gematria of Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Zerantin is heaven. Zerantin is Hashem. Zerantin is six sephirot. Are they different? I've said it three different ways. Does it mean three different things, or is it all the same? Well, we see them as separate, as different. But they're different frames of reference describing the spiritual cause. Is it a little more clear now, Jasmine?
Yeah. What about when the name of Hashem is spelled with just Yud?
You mean Yud Yud or just Yud?
No, Yud. Hey, Yud.
Oh, when the name is spelled, instead of Hey Aleph, it's spelled Hey Yud?
Yeah.
Hey Yud, when it's spelled that way, it has a gematria either of 63 or 72, depending on how you spell the Vav.
Vav Yuvav. So it would be the frame of Atzilut, or?
It would be the frame of Atzilut. It would be the frame of Chachma. It would be the frame of wisdom. 72 is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh spelled the following way. Yud-Vav-Dalet is the Yud. Hey-Yud is the first Hey. Vav-Yud-Vav is the second, is the Vav. And Hey-Yud is the final Hey. If you add those letters up, the gematria is 72. Now you know why there's 72 attributes of Hashem, the 72 names of God. Should I go on, or we still need to discuss this more?
You can go on.
Verse 33. What does the number 33 mean to us? What's today? The 33rd day of the Omer.
Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer.
Exactly. Bifalguta Disare Azil Chadaricha. Nahir Limatan Visharin Almin Humine Yada Hir Arsa Zerantin Din Hirin Beyat Sadikayo Leal Madiate Ahidiki Theorach Sadikin Cheor Noga Olech Waor Ad Nechon Hayom Umin Hahu Archa Each Parsha Lashit Mea Utlesar Orchin Theoraita Defalig Bezer Anfin Diki Bea Kol Archot Hashem Chesed Ve'emet V'gomer. in the parting of the hair to the right and left of the skull, a path passes between them that radiates light to 270 worlds. From this illuminates that the path at the place where the hair parts. Of Zerantin, with which the righteous illuminate in the world that is coming. This is what is written, but in the path of just men is like the gleam of sunlight that shines ever more brightly until the height of noonday. From that path of Zerantin, there is a parting into 613 ways of the Torah, which part in Zerantin, meaning the 613 precepts, of which it is written, all the paths of Hashem are mercy and truth. Questions, comments, thoughts? The verse is showing how the flow comes down from our Rishantin, or the section also. Everything we've read is showing how the flow of light comes down from our Rishantin through Zerantin and into the 27 letters, which is the code word 270 worlds. The 27 is the 22 letters with their also their final forms, final letter forms. Flows through the 27 letters and into the 613 precepts, which are the 613 paths within the Torah. So now the section is over. I will read this synopsis. Rabbi Shimon talks about the thousands of groups of hairs in the skull of the head, every strand of which glows in 410 worlds. A wellspring glows and flows from these strands to the strands of Zerantin, and the brain of Zerantin gets constructed from these, after which it flows to the 32 paths of wisdom. Rabbi Shimon says that a person's character is revealed from his hair. From the parting of the hair, Rabbi Shimon deduces a parting into 613 ways of the Torah, meaning the 613 precepts. Is anybody else tired?
Yeah, I had my little quiet nap, I guess.
Understand.
I'd rather think anyway, that I went up and studied it with the Heavenly Academy and just come down. Well, actually, I've been here almost an hour.
Yeah, no, you were up in the Heavenly Academy, but now it's my turn.
Okay.
I'm joking when I say my turn. It's everybody's turn.
Well,
you all have a wonderful holiday.
Okay.
And remember, it's only 17 more days of the Omer until we get the revelation of the Torah. And we get to stay up all night again. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Jasmine, I appreciated you being the one to talk tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night.